This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're having a great day. Braves last night had a nice chance to come back and win. It was weird because Snit decided to sit Michael Money Harris. He said he wanted to get him off his feet. He'd been playing a lot. And look, Snit said it as much. And I know people want to take shots at Snit. Like I said earlier, nice time to take him out of the lineup when he's the hottest guy in the lineup. But you bat around and you score a bunch of runs, and then when it came back around, it would have been Money Harris that was up.
Yes.
And instead it was Eli White, who strikes out. Don't know if we win the game or if we come back and you know, tie it or whatever, but it's one of those what-if situations. Either way, Money Harris continues to be hot. But the story last night, guys, we were talking about, and you can chime in, is Spencer Strider. He is broken right now.
Yeah, man, it's ugly. 5-11 on the season. We knew there were going to be some growing pains. Now, we said there were going to be. Got into an argument with some guys on Twitter about this today earlier. Some folks were, I think, overly optimistic about how Spencer Strider would bounce back from that brace surgery, right, from the UCL.
Yes.
And maybe every injury now in pro sports takes 18 to 2 months, right? 18 months to 2 years, I should say. I don't know. But he's struggling. CJ Nitkowski kind of did a real deep dive. And in a nutshell, some of the stuff that Tom Glavine's talked about as well, the slider is not locating properly. Three of the big hits last night were sliders. A home run on the first pitch was a fastball up in the zone at 96 miles an hour. You'd love to have him if he's a closer, get back to what he was at 9,900 miles an hour. Some guys always felt he was destined to be a closer in the first place. But maybe now it's just another offseason, and hopefully getting shellacked and getting beat up, like lit up like a pinball machine, Carl, doesn't mess with his, I don't want to say fragile psyche, but he's a pretty sensitive guy, you know, who really kind of goes, you know, next level looking at what he's not getting done right. So, and if there's physical limitations, there's only so much you can do. I hope that doesn't, you know, take to his pillow at night, because you're just going to deal with an injury. Hopefully you're going to overcome this stuff. Hopefully they've got the right pitching staff. The right coaching staff to help him with his pitching. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Kranz. I don't know what you do for a living. Nobody ever seems to make it a full season. Okay? I mean, everybody's a sacred cow on this. Oh, well, no, you can't. Why?
No.
Every pitcher breaks.
No.
Every pitcher breaks down. Tell me I'm wrong. Every freaking starter is out.
No.
So yeah, it's just, you know, I you know me, man. I would turn the page on this entire coaching staff, managers, hitting instructors, pitching instructors, everybody. Everybody goes. And let's have a clean slate. Let's spend some money on starting pitching. But getting back to Strider, he is a lost puppy right now, period. End of story.
No, he's lost. And by the way, the guy I bet on social media, I've not heard from you since the beginning of the season.
Right.
Where are you? Where are you?
I mean, look, you still got Braves fans feeling, well, you know, if we sweep the Mets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, guess what? Certainly a distinct possibility, because the Braves have got the Mets number, and that is correct. So take the Mets out of the wild card equation, but they still have a bunch of other teams out there ahead of you.
I will say this, and you guys are like, no, I didn't bet money. We bet actually to give money to Children's Healthcare if the Braves, I think, won over 80 games and were a playoff team. I think it was 85, the number, something like that. And anyways, it was funny because he was like, Dukes, you're crazy. We win 80-plus every year. Okay. We win 90 every year. Okay. Well, this year, not so fast. Hey, man, more on the Braves coming up, more on our Falcons as well. But before we get to all of that, let's talk some dogs. Mike Kirby today addressing a couple of things. Speaking of expectations, what are your expectations for Gunnar Stockton? Seriously.
Man, you try to quantify it?
Yes.
I mean, can you give me 25 touchdowns?
That's a lot.
Sure is. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Very much a lot.
I mean, only because...
I mean, I'm just trying to find a number that makes is plausible.
But
it makes sense. Or that would mean into the playoffs.
Yes, but if these receivers are going to catch the rock...
Everybody's raving about the transfer receivers. We talked about it yesterday. We know we've got a bunch of guys that are super athletic, can stretch the field, and if this defensive line can hold, then Gunnar Stockton gets the ball down the field, and these guys are going to have the explosive plays that were missing at times last year when Carson Beck wasn't throwing to the other guys.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that.
But Noah Thomas started to catch up. Thomas and Zach Branch are supposed to be all world.
Well, that's the thing. It sounds like a lot, but if these guys are catching the ball, it's not. If he's putting it on point and these guys are getting some yak and scoring touchdowns, it's not going to be a lot. And Georgia will have an explosive offense. Here's what Kirby said about Gunnar Stockton and his expectations.
Good decisions. Good decisions. Make good decisions. Continue to develop. Understanding situational football. You know, we've made football so complicated. Some quarterbacks, I don't think they know the down and distance. Like, I don't think they actually know, do I have another down after this play? Or is this my last chance to get the first down? It's just little things, being a quarterback, understanding the game, understanding what the defense is doing. He's grown so much in regards to that. ID and protections, ID and run game. Playing quarterback is, you know, I mean, it's like being a computer. It's got a million things going on at once. And he's gotten better and better at handling those things, and that's what I want to see him do when he gets the opportunity.
Yeah, because what's interesting about that is, and Kirby's so cool, calm, and collected, if he does all those things, you're going to have success. Like, it sounds very simplistic, but he's not lying. Like, Kirby didn't say, I expect him for 3,000 yards. If you do all of those things, knowing down and distance, understanding situational football, knowing where I need to go with the ball, Mike, all this other stuff's going to work out. And those are the kind of things that I think he's preaching to Gunnar Stockton. Stockton, does he have the ability to do all that stuff, what he's talking about? We're going to find out.
You know, we're going back and talking a lot about the Sugar Bowl, the loss to Notre Dame.
Sure.
If they don't try to be aggressive and just run the ball, it's 6-3 going into halftime.
I'll take it.
Think about that. And now the pressure's on Notre Dame to go down the field. Unfortunately, you know, you're dropping back to pass. And it was, by the way, 33 seconds around the clock when he fumbled. So it was 39 seconds after the touchback.
And they used it.
And you're trying to get him. I mean, that's just, we all want to be aggressive. You don't want to sit on it. But, I mean, that guy in that situation, you know, remember, if receivers drop, that's the year they're not making the plays. It's just, to me, it's just, what's your point, Mike? The point is you still could have probably beat Notre Dame.
Mike, what's your point?
Could have beat freaking Notre Dame if you play it smart. You didn't play it smart.
I agree. And that's the one that comes
Rely back. On your defense.
Yeah, it comes back to Biden. As a matter of fact, Kirby's speaking today about this. Listen to what he says. Reporter goes back and forth a little bit, talking about the Notre Dame game.
On your radio.
Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk about the Dogs, real quick, I do want to mention Nate Frazier got a nice compliment from Mike Bobo, the OC, saying he's growing into a complete back. Bobo saying this of the sophomore running back. I guess the next step is to stop looking for the home run all the time. And he's saying Nate Frazier has the ability to do that, Mike, but he don't need to do that. If they're going to give you 5-7 yards, take the 5 or 7. You don't have to take it to the house every time. He said that's something that we've got to get better with all of our running backs, but we've got to learn to get the dirty yards. That's what he talked about.
Okay.
Here is Kirby talking about that Notre Dame situation Mike was just mentioning.
Obviously, the Notre Dame game was kind of decided score-wise. Yeah. Is this – how much do you all look at that? Do you think it has kind of outsized importance? And, like, situationally, I know you practice two-minute offense, but do you how do you account for the middle eight, that idea?
Yeah, since I came to Georgia, Mel Tucker was on our staff. We talked about it. It was a big NFL thing at that time. But don't think we had the two-minute warning per se, which everything was two-minute. It just wasn't a two-minute warning. But we've kept a stat since we've been here every year, and we show it every Monday, who won the middle eight. And the middle eight it's not any more important now than it was then. We talk about it. We talked about it for a long time, and we've won it in a lot of games, and we've lost it in some games. But it's crazy, the statistics between 1 year, everybody talks about turnovers. Well, that's the greatest indicator of who wins. The next year, it's explosive plays. That's the greatest indicator of what determines who wins games is who has more explosive plays. Both of those are huge indicators. And then there's the belief that the middle eight is the greatest indicator of who wins games. And statistically, you could go year to year, And it's just very thin margins between the difference in who wins games over those three factors. So middle eight, you could say, is just as critical as those. You're trying to double possession people. It's why a lot of people defer in the first half to get a double possession. It's a lot of strategy in it. There's a lot more people going forward on fourth down closer to half to keep somebody from getting an extra possession. But we look at it. We study it. We try to attack it the right way. We historically have been really good at that, and probably the worst we've ever been at it was the Notre Dame. We've never been outscored that much in that period without touching the ball.
As we said, and it was just the fumble by, you know, they got Stockton dropping back to pass. He coughs it up. You give Notre Dame that short field. They punch it in. And then, as we said, the special teams play. And remember, Carl, in that game, you just talked about, you know, we had the conversation with Day-Day and Yeah Man, No Man about how difficult it is, you know, not having the depth. You realize in that game, it was the former walk-on, Cash Jones, that caught the touchdown pass. Remember that?
That's right.
To make it like remotely competitive at 23-10. So that's, you know, or 23, it was 20-10 at that point. They kicked another field goal to the Irish. But that's a game, that's why I harped on it so much, and you guys go round and round on it. You know, maybe with Carson Beck in there, with Todd Monken calling the play, I don't know. That's why I get down on Bobo. That's not the time to be aggressive. That cost you a shot at the championship. Or do you look at Georgia last year and say, regardless, even if they get past Notre Dame, they're not advancing?
I
give him a puncher's chance, but I mean, it's just so much to ask of a rookie quarterback starting his third game. Second game.
That was a lot to ask of him. The comments there, and by the way, that's probably as detailed as you're going to hear from Kirby. Three things, and I'm a big believer, this is me, of that middle eight he's talking about. But he was talking about everybody has this philosophy about explosive plays. Like, if I have eight, Mike, and you got one, we probably beat you. Right, if I got more 30 or 25 yard plays in a game, I'm probably going to beat you. Turnovers, obviously, is a big deal. If I have three and you don't have any, okay. But I got to tell you guys something. If you go back and look, whether it was Saban, who we were talking about earlier in his Alabama teams, and when Kirby was there, or you fast forward to Georgia's back to back, or last year Ohio State, or the year before Michigan cheating, their middle eight was better than everybody else's. And I'm a big believer, Mike, in that. Is what wins championships. Like, you can have two disciplined football teams be equal across the board, but if my middle eight is better, I'm telling you, in college football, give me that team every day of the week. And that's why I continue to question Kirby's defense this year, because I don't know if he's got those studs up front like he had.
Well, Connor Riley, we talked about it after the second scrimmage for Georgia, about what exactly do they have. We've been kind of the belief that they're going to be strong in the trenches, and we know it got some good pieces in the secondary. It's a great question. And the depth thing that you just don't seem to have that you had in those back-to-back Natty years, just not there. So one mistake, one injury. That's why, you know, if you're – by the way, how's Texas, you know, going to handle this season?
They're loaded. They're studs.
The depth.
Studs. Depth everywhere.
But you don't think
– but
you, but just last – just the other day, you, if I remember correctly –
what?
My ears were functioning. You don't think they can beat Ohio State?
It's going to be hard.
All right, so that's two L's, Georgia and Ohio State.
Slow down. Wait a minute. We're not there yet.
They ain't going to come to Athens and get no W.
I just said it's going to be hard. Really, what's got to happen, speaking of turnovers, Arch can't go in there and turn over two interceptions, Mike. Caleb Downs can't take one to the house.
Right.
He's got to not have turnovers. And then the thing is, once you get the lead there, can you control the line of scrimmage and run the ball? You don't need to – Arch doesn't need to throw for 45 times.
By the way, the latest crazy, you know, ridiculous sports talk conspiracy theory being, I guess, I presume, put forward in Indiana is that, they're tanking now. They're going to try to get Arch. That Arch is going to come out after just 1 year of starter at Texas.
Oh.
The Colts. The same thing that Jimmy Haslam said about the Browns was nonsense. And most people are saying that Arch is in for 2 years at Texas as a starter.
Yeah, he is. Trust me. Plenty of money. Hey, man, coming up, we got to talk about the latest – with the power rankings and where our Falcons came in, all right? Down from the pre-draft. How is that even possible? I thought our draft was really good. Okay, we'll explain all of this when we come back. It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
It is Dukes and Bell coming up. Got some guy talk for you. I got off today. I mean, out of court.
Dukes beats the rap. Yeah. Film at 11.
I told Mike when I got in today that his brother was sitting in front of me. It was about 10 people or whatever in the courtroom. And literally, they called him first. And he goes up to the prosecutor. Traffic ticket, guys. And look, I wasn't guilty anyway. But the guy literally goes, "I'm innocent, Your Honor." And the guy goes, how do you plead?
It's innocent, you know, nolo contendere. Imagine trying to explain nolo contendere to that dude.
No, he didn't get it. And literally he's like, do you want a jury or do you want a judge to decide? I want a jury.
You're going to select the jury? You're going to represent yourself? Is that going to work?
Exactly okay. What he said.
You want to do this today, do you?
It made me laugh. So the guy goes, prosecutor's like, all right, take a seat. Anyways, but man. Dismissed. Thank you, sir.
So, Cousin Vinny, it's actually Cousin Dookie.
Let's go.
As our buddy Zach Klein would say, hey, Dookie.
That's right. What's up, Zach? If you need my services, let me know. Big shout out to all the folks that I reached out to. So, seriously, a lot of attorneys out there were like, hey, this is what you need to do. Right. And it worked.
Was it Snoopy or Lucy that gave the legal advice in Peanuts?
Oh, that's a good question.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that, Oren?
It wasn't Lucy, was it? Maybe it was.
Was it Snoopy? Because she did psychological. She was a shrink and she also gave legal advice. I read a lot of Peanuts books when I was a kid. You know, like 8, 9, 10. It was a big part of my childhood.
You know Apple owns that now?
Really? I did not know that.
You used to be able to watch like Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and all that stuff. Apple. It's on Apple now.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. Somebody can tell me if that's the case. Right. Hey, man. Mike, ESPN released their NFL power rankings for 2025. And which player from each team is under the most pressure? Okay. Falcons came in at 19, down from the pre-draft rank of 18. And Kyle Pitts is the player most under pressure. Now, our buddy Mark Ramonde was talking about this. First of all, let's talk about the Pitts thing. Is he, in fact, the one player that's under the most pressure? Is there anybody else on this roster? Is there anybody else?
I think he's got the most pressure clearly on him. I think you've got a lot of depth at the other key positions. I mean, I don't think anybody would say Mike Hughes is under pressure, but I think I worry about any corner not named A.J. Terrell, despite the fact that the stats say that Hughes isn't as bad as maybe some of us think he is. It's a backhanded compliment. So, yeah, I guess it's still got to be Pitts. Pressure on Pitts.
Okay.
You said it last year. He could be the secret sauce.
He could be, man. And look, as much as I want to get hyped and all amped and KP, look, I'm all for everything that you've been doing in camp, and I got to see it in the season, man. But at the end of the day, I do agree with you, and I agree with this. And Mark says Pitts is the player that's under the most pressure. Some people have said, well, you guys are dismissing that Penix is under pressure. No. I'm not dismissing it, but I don't know if I'm as worried about that. Mike, you said this earlier. It feels like he's got command of this offense.
Right. Now, it's a small sample size. We looked at his first games going all the way back to when he was at Indiana. Guy always steps up to the plate. Now, granted, he's never had guys like the Buccaneers coming after him. I thought everything that you would need one game was the Commanders game because of the stakes. I think if people forget at the time, we were still alive. There was, we had to win out.
We had a chance.
We had a chance. But unfortunately, and coach will argue with me till forever about, how they managed that last 2 minutes. But I thought he gave you enough to win that game. You put up 38 points and 300 yards in your third start in the NFL.
Pretty damn good.
And you lose because your defense is Keystone Cops. That was the last game of the year against the Panthers.
That's why I'm not worried about. I'm not saying I'm not worried. He's not my most pressing issue.
I just think, if there's going to be a look that he's not familiar with, I think I have the confidence in him to just throw it away.
Okay.
Take the second and long or whatever, but just don't force it. I think that's something that Zach is preaching. I think he's putting it down and he's picking it up.
Seven teams ranked below the Falcons are on the schedule. And we're talking about, again, the power rankings where we came in at 19 down from the pre-draft rank at 18. So those teams are Jets, Panthers, Saints, Patriots, Colts, Cardinals, and the Dolphins. And then you look at Pitts, and he ranks 17th in their tight end rankings, Mike, and 16th in the NFL fantasy football tight end rankings. By the way, were you rolling a dice on Pitts if you have a chance to pick him?
No way. I mean, if you know that, you know what that is? When you go grab a beer or hit the bathroom, auto draft, you get Pitts in like the 13th round. I'm being straight with you. You know? I mean,
I'll be right back.
If I can't get the elite three, you know, top five, you know, tight ends, and I go take Hockenson in the 7th round.
Hot take tweet. Dukes and Bills say Kyle Pitts is an auto draft.
Kyle Pitts is the guy the computer will auto draft for you when you go to the bathroom.
Mike Bell says leave Kyle Pitts on the shelf.
There you go. Now,
coming out, Danny's he's constructing this as
there
we speak.
There it is. So now that I get all the Pitts boys going to be upset with me now. But that's
did just say go to the bathroom.
Hey, am I lying? I've already done a dozen mock drafts. Remember, I did a mock draft last commercial break. Pitts is there, man. You want Pitts in the 12th to 13th round, you can get him. Because right. They don't believe in him.
17th in the tight end rankings. All right. But either way, but is that right, though? Isn't he better than that?
Let me rewind.
No.
I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just telling you, again, what my experience on Yahoo Fantasy Football has been heretofore.
I think you own the site. Your damn teams are stacked. I don't know how you get all these guys.
Because when you do these things nationally, you got a bunch of freaking morons on this thing. I've been checking Drake London with the 11th pick all day.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a monster this year with this team.
I agree. So you think that's where he belongs? 17th, 16th, tight end?
Yeah.
Ranking?
I had a chance to draft him, but I took Tucker Kraft.
Who?
The guy from Green Bay.
Yeah, and who's the kid from Arizona that was killing it last year?
Trey McBride. Trey and Brock are going early in drafts.
He helped win me the fantasy last year, McBride.
Dude, I'd get Brock way early. Way early. He's going to see 100 balls, guys.
Well, I mean, did you treat him like the way you used to treat Kelsey? You just take a flyer on him in the third round.
Hot take. Carl Duke says Brock Bowers way better than Kyle Pitts.
Well, he is. I mean, that's where we are right now.
I mean, Kyle Pitts is 17. Zach Ertz is 18. I mean, would you take Jonnu Smith over Kyle Pitts? He's at 20.
Well, we know somebody's going to try to get him the ball.
I know that for sure. But, Bowers, McBride, Kittle, Laporta, Hockenson, Kelsey, and Njoku. Mark Andrews, Ingram, Kraft, Loveland, Ferguson, Warren.
Loveland looks like a beast, by
and,
the way.
You know, even if you got Daniel Jones, he's going to find Tyler Warren at 5 touchdowns last year for the Colts.
Yeah, Warren, he's a stud. There's no doubt. Why are we talking about
Dalton Kincaid with the Buffalo Bills.
No, Dalton's nice, too.
Right.
Why are we talking about this? Simply because these are the things as we start getting ready for the season. You start saying, okay, what are the real expectations? And look, we're not trying to tell you anything that you probably don't know already. If there's somebody out there that says, Dukes and Bell, you guys are crazy, the most pressure is on this individual. Who is that? X blank. You can hit us up, 404-726-0929. But the fact that we came in at 19 and down from the pre-draft ranking at 18, it's weird because, again, I just feel like you look at our team, I feel like we improved, right? If you're just looking at – and, again, this is why it's so hard to look at the draft. You say, well – there were a lot of teams who drafted the players they needed to, like Cleveland. I look at their draft, Mike. They were all over the place. I mean, it was weird. You drafted multiple quarterbacks, and you know, were you focused on really what you needed to address? Now they had a bunch of picks, but it's like I felt like for the picks we had, you went boom, 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 need, need, need.
Right. We're better now in the nickel dime. Now, I mean, we're going to see just who emerges. I'm curious to see what the pecking order is going to be in that secondary, especially in the nickel package. I know that we just talked about Hughes. It's just one of those things when AJ Terrell, he's so good. Sometimes it's hard to quantify because people won't throw at him. Yes, he does, and some critics will say when he draws the number one wide receiver, it's high risk, high reward. He's been aggressive. I think how aggressive is Albert going to be with his coverages too? By the way,
well, if you go
up on the line,
yes, straight up man, and let's get after it. Speaking of AJ, Mike, here's what he said about not playing in the preseason as a vet.
I think the main thing about it is you putting yourself in that game mentality mindset and really just going out there to execute at a high level and play as if you were, you know, take every rep as if it was a game day rep. And it took me a minute to get in that mode as far as not this year, but like years prior, not playing. And then that first time playing be a shock to your body because you didn't really push through for camp. But now me knowing what I know now, these reps is really important. You know, leading up to it, just because your first adrenaline rush will be on, you know, week one against Tampa, but at the same time, you got to push yourself and practice for that, though.
You'd be a professional, but you're going up against the guys that, you know, you've been playing with all summer. You know, and I know we've debated this. Folks are probably sick of hearing about it, but Burrow last night doing his thing, seeing Jaden Daniels out there taking some contact, yep. running for a typical Jaden Daniels ping pong, bing, boing, bing, touchdown like he Ricochet Rabbit.
He wasn't scared, was he?
No. They want to be out there. Look, Andy Reid plays his guys. Sean McVay doesn't. Both guys have won a Super Bowl. You know, Andy's won a bunch. You know, but our guy, Raheem Morris, has his reasons. But this is where you hope that you got what you needed with Tennessee. And it, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine. It's almost like almost a month by the time you play Tennessee in the scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, until you're the opening day. Not a month, but it's over 3 weeks.
Well, you say, what did we really learn and how much better have we gotten since we saw them in those two joint practices? Again, I felt like both teams got good work. But like I said, you know, and maybe I'm wrong about this. I doubt it. I was not impressed with Cam. Cam Ward did not come in here and just light this place on fire where we left practice and we're like, woo-wee, this boy here. I didn't feel that way. I felt that way at times about Penix and seeing some of these balls that he's thrown and, like, the accuracy and the touch on them. But, like, you're right. You wonder how much of that work is going to pay off as you head to the regular season.
A lot of guys are banged up. We talked about wide receiver injuries in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. Chris Olave still dealing with an ankle injury for the Saints. Meanwhile, Stephon Diggs apparently improving. We got the Patriots on the schedule this year. He's also had to be a slow roll from the injury last year.
Yeah, and that, by the way, that Patriots team's going to be improved. You know, we're going to get back into the schedule here. Not next week, but we get into the season.
Who's the quarterback going to be for the Colts when we play them in Berlin? Daniel Jones just named the starter.
He is.
Some of this is because Anthony Richardson had that pinky and missed some time. By the way, the Colts we talked about a couple hours earlier, they do say they are still committed, air quotes, to a guy who's only been around for 3 years.
Mike, I'll be honest. I hope it's Daniel Jones. And only reason is because I know what I'm getting from Daniel Jones. If Anthony Richardson starts to come into his own, his athleticism is off the charts. Like that's the problem that he can create. But I also think he's going through this stage right now that a lot of athletic quarterbacks do. Got to stay in the pocket.
Right.
Got to stay in the pocket. And in his head, he's in, you know, thinking that way.
What's Kyler Murray going to be? We get the Cardinals this year. Marvin Harrison. I can't believe Marvin Harrison will not have the breakout year this year. It was painful to have him in fantasy league last year because it was you just couldn't get what you needed. You know, just it was like him and Kyler Murray were definitely not on the same page for half the season.
Look, I hate playing Kyler Murray, and you guys saw why last year. You saw how he run around, and made plays. Mike, remember he was injured, came back and beat us. Mm. That's a guy I don't want. Look, you may not think highly of Kyler Murray. I think he's a really good player, but I just don't like playing him because his unpredictability in the play in the pocket. All right, man, we got some guy talk coming up. Mike, what's up?
Hey, man, you're not going to believe what they're doing down on the plains. Auburn has now added official new multiple national championships to their resume.
You need length and girth in this league.
I'll explain. And what NFL owner has just built a house that kind of looks like the Death Star? We'll explain. Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We're going to play his play, a little bit of a soggy day on a Tuesday here in Metro Atlanta. We got storms rolling through Midtown, heading towards Buckhead, so be careful out there. By the way, one of my pet peeves, what grinds my gears, yesterday driving home.
Yeah,
there's wrecks. You know, look, I get it. You know, we all deal with wrecks and traffic. It's part of living in Atlanta. But, you know, when you get to the wreck and it's nothing you hadn't seen before, let's go! Okay? If there's not a car in a tree or something, right? Or, you know, something looks, you know, I mean, I don't want to be ghoulish about it, but something terrible has happened.
Sure.
Let's go. In this case, it was basically 5 miles and nothing. Just back, you know, stop and go traffic, and you get there, it's a big, great big nothing. Just a state trooper and three cars and a fender bender.
I do hate that.
And you still got the guy going, what the hell happened here? Hit the gas, Jack. Let's go.
And by the way, that causes more accidents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Just grinds my gears. Hey, man, real quick, hats off to the guys at Lazy Dog. You heard Bunk doing the commercials on the radio. We had a great time there when we had our big Father's Day dinner at Lazy Dog.
Amazing.
Up there at Perimeter Mall, locations around Metro Atlanta. Today was going to be a day of, well, intermittent fasting for yours truly, until I discovered, as Day-Day says, oh, we got food. Oh, we got food. They brought basically everything. They're calling it $15 Fireside Favorites. They're describing them as savory meals at a sweet price, but great food, man. I went for what I thought was probably the healthiest option, which was the Mediterranean chicken bowl, fried chicken dinner, fettuccine alfredo, shrimp tacos. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable
stuff.
That's
the new menu?
That's the new
Let me see that.
Fireside Favorites.
Yeah, because I met him when I came in, and literally he was like, we brought some food. You know, sometimes when people bring food, it's just a little bit.
Right.
He brought food like, Mike, we're having a family reunion
in here. Yeah, I mean, brought the kitchen, enough for everybody. So what did you go with, Orin? What was your selection? From the Fireside Favorites. Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to the show, Orin. What was your selection on the Fireside?
I'm sorry. I had the fried chicken.
You know what?
I thought we were talking about free and food. I figured you'd jump in this.
I think this is what I had for the Father's Day dinner. Yeah. That fried chicken was unbelievable. Right.
Fried chicken was really good.
How about you, Day-Day? What'd you go for, Joe?
So I had just finished a sandwich right before they walked in. Mm-hmm. So I did not do any of the dinner, but I did do, they brought a large pan of a brownie dessert. Mm-mm-mm. And oh, my God. Goodness!
Yeah, man.
Is this still out there?
It's still
there's still some stuff out there, man.
It's, I mean,
you gonna take it home, Carl?
No, it was calling my name, and I said no. Yeah, I had to
Pookie
fight
from New Jack City.
No,
I had to fight.
But this is the thing,
it be calling me, Carl. Scotty, get in here! I'm gonna die.
It be calling me, Carl.
I can do it.
Yeah, it was homecoming queen, so we'll do the whole New Jack City line. By the way, yesterday we had a big corporate wing ding. We had the CEO flew into town, so mandatory attendance. And the thing was over by noon. So I got 2 hours to kill. It's not enough time, Carl, to go back home and come back.
Sure.
Already worked out that morning, got nothing to do. So what else? Go downtown to Holman and Finch, downstairs, I should say.
Yeah.
I had two Manhattans. Shout out to Parks, the bartender. It's a Manhattan. I think they call it a Louisiane. So basically, you put some Benedictine in the Manhattan with a little splash of vermouth and the bitters. And I went with rye. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's a good drink. That's a good drink. That's a different twist to it, though.
Right. And of course, I had a burger. So today, just getting back to the whole food thing, today was going to be a day of eating the bars and my diet. Had a shake for lunch. Going to be like starving myself. And then this shows up.
Yeah.
So again, scratch this day off being healthy. It was so good.
It's hard. You have to start tomorrow.
Yeah. And then Thursday, Friday, let's make good decisions at Eastlake at the Tito's tent.
That's not happening.
Right?
Write the week off.
Write it off.
Yeah.
Start week Monday. Off. Start Monday. Yeah, I
agree. It'll be
that.
A healthy week. All right, man.
How are you going to go to the golf course and not eat some of that stuff out
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
Oh,
I know.
Goodness.
And all the booze. Anyway. Hey, man, you're not going to believe what they're doing in Auburn.
What are they doing?
They are now claiming more national championships than everybody else thinks they have.
How?
Well, the Tigers have now, and I'm reading this from an article written by David Wasson, and this is from Saturday Down South, which I do get a kick out of. It goes, the Tigers leap into the deep end of the absurdity pool with all four paws on Tuesday, announcing the football program will now recognize itself as a 9-time national champion. Auburn's new official national championships, apparently one in 1910, new ones for 1914, new one for 1958 and 57, 90 and 83, 93, 2004, and 2010. Now, 2010, we know they did win that national championship,
they did.
Cam
they
Newton.
Did. Yes.
That one was official. 2004 was the year that, unfortunately, Tommy Tuberville got screwed because Oklahoma got the right, because they were also undefeated, to play Auburn, despite Auburn having a better strength of schedule. That was the BCS with all the stupid computer formulas. I always felt the 2004 one was just, this is my 2 cents worth. The reason I thought they didn't get the chance to play USC is USC came into Jordan-Hare the year before, beat him 23-0. And I think that weighed on the BCS.
It did.
You know what I'm saying?
Because of the human element.
I mean, I know that it was more, if you feel me on that day, I think that's how we've seen them play Auburn can't hang with them. They went into SEC country and they throttled them. Not fair, because again, strength of schedule should matter. It was stronger than Oklahoma. Oklahoma got boat raced by USC. I would like to think that, Auburn, the 2004 team, would have showed up. 93 is pretty self-explanatory. Terry Bowden went undefeated, but they were on probation. They were on double secret probation. They were ineligible for a postseason bowl game. So, I mean, I wasn't around. I have to ask Fricky about 1910.
Not familiar with that one.
Not familiar, you know. That would have been
not familiar that with
was
that
Taft was president for that one.
Yeah, I
so I really can't speak to that.
Were they riding horses?
Yeah. 83, they're going to claim a title in 83.
Okay.
Again, 93, by the way, Florida State did win the national championship. They beat Nebraska. That was after they lost to Notre Dame. Notre Dame turned around and lost to Boston College.
A really good national championship game.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so some would say this is the ultimate little brother syndrome to Alabama. So you're actually telling me you're going to post those years up at Jordan-Hare? That's a bit ridiculous, isn't it?
I mean, Mike, you got to love yourself.
Yeah, I know, but it's like... I mean, but look, Pat Dye got you in trouble. Sorry if Pat Dye Jr. is listening. 93, you were ineligible. Terry Bowden got in trouble. You know,
so
it is what it is.
You're telling me two of these don't count.
Right.
Okay.
I wish that Tuberville's would, because all the crap he went through with Bobby Lauder trying to run him out of town, and he turns around and runs the table that year. But it's just, but still, you didn't win a national championship.
It's fair. But they, this is revisionist history, Mike. And,
that's
you know,
correct.
Right now, there's a lot of this going on.
Yes, there is. Yes, in all walks of life. And we'll just leave it there.
I'm just saying, it didn't happen.
That's correct. Hey, man, former Yankee Clint Frazier, played with the Bronx Bombers for a number of years, goes on his podcast and says, you know why the Yankees don't win stuff? Because they do stupid-ish all the time. They will not win the World Series if this blanking analytical car is driving it. They won't. He said in the Life After the Show podcast. And the reason they won't win it is because they do dumb blank blank that they didn't do during the regular season. They get cute. They want to make a crazy move. Kind of what the Dodgers did in years they came up short under Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
We were under the impression that the Dodgers brass jams analytics down their throat. You buy that for the Yankees.
I do. And I think this is a problem for a lot of teams. By the way, Brewers remain hot. They are. I mean, it's just ridiculous how good they've been playing. But I will say this is an issue for a lot of teams. I'm not buying the Yankees, Mike. I'm not buying the Yankees.
Nope. Not no way, no how. Aaron Judge, though, over Raleigh for MVP. Slugging's better, average better. A lot of
mentions. Barely.
Raleigh's having this great season, and I despise the Yankees. Sorry, but I'd like to see Raleigh get it. But the average may keep some writers. Who knows where they go with
well,
it?
Well, listen, Judge's going to get the benefit of the doubt just because he's Judge, and
right.
he's going to get probably more benefit than most would get. But yeah, right. I think just by a hair.
Hey, man, I mentioned this yesterday's show. I wasn't alone. I read more articles. A couple guys hit me up on the text line afterwards. A lot of guys are finding this Buffalo Bills Hard Knocks uncompelling.
Okay, you
so
said this.
Maybe something happens tonight because the new episode
tonight?
Drops.
Is that tonight?
Yeah, it's Tuesday, right? This
okay.
is a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday.
All right, because I will tell you, I read something today. Why was that, Court? And time is waiting. And this Cowboys doc on Netflix has me already hooked. Now, I will tell you guys, you know, there are a lot of Cowboy fans
right.
who are still Cowboy fans based on what happened in the 90s when they had their dynasty. Maybe you weren't, maybe you were. If you were in the 70s and 80s, Roger Staubach and company, that's different. But, Mike, this doc, I mean, it seems like it's – and by the way, I think it's the same guy, Dady. I don't know if you know this. I read it's the same dude who did Last Dance.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't read it was the same guy, but I read that it was Last Dance plus something. You,
okay.
you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
it's
I like
that
it.
Much better.
And so, if you're wondering, I think it's like Jerry, the Dynasty, or something like that. But, like, you like all the behind-the-scenes stuff, like, you watch The Last Dance, you felt like you got something.
Right.
And I feel like for all the stories about the Cowboys, this is Jimmy, this is Barry Switzer, this seems like it's going to be good. And I think it's like eight or nine episodes. This is supposed to be pretty long.
You know what I was watching this morning when I was flipping around TV, and it was so creepy. It was a 30 for 30 where they do the AI for Al Davis and Pete Rozelle. You didn't see that one?
That is creepy.
You see that one, Day-Day? It's a couple years ago. And so the guy, they got a voice doing Pete Rozelle's voice, and they got Al Davis. But it's AI, so it's all computer-generated, and it's creepy.
So what is it, like the
yeah,
the hologram
yes,
kind of
well,
deal?
It's similar, but yeah, but they animate them, and they talk about the story of the Raiders and, you know, him going round and round with Rozelle.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was the reason I bring up the Raiders. Mark Davis is building a mansion on a six-acre plot in Henderson, suburban Vegas, and people are saying it kind of looks exactly like their practice facility, and it kind of looks a lot like the Death Star, the Allegiant Stadium out there in Vegas behind Mandalay Bay the highway.
That's purposely he's doing this?
Apparently so. City Records describing the schematics and the renderings of this sucker as basically looking like, well, it looks just like your practice facility. It's black with white trim and gray.
I want everybody to know I'm the Raiders owner.
Right. Would be funny if it had like a bowl on top, like his haircut.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, just throwing it out there. Hey, man, this is a story that I thought was great. I would have, if I had known it was going to happen. I didn't see it until it actually went down when I was watching it, and that was the return of Rich Eisen to ESPN Sports Center using the old homage to two guys in which you love, Stuart Scott and Kobe Bean Bryant. Kobe coming in the break room, ordering from the snack machine. He goes, "That's just how Jordan would have done it." So they showed that.
That's great.
They showed a montage of Stuart Scott promos and just great stuff on Sports. Sports Center was great. They used the old music. Maybe it's just me. It was better. The guys that are just on it now are just so silly. It sounded like, I know it's a funny word not used very often, they just come off as like ninnies. Ninnies and twits. They even have a guy who's trying so hard to be Stuart Scott now. Have you seen this guy? It's just painful.
Yeah.
But anyway, you got to be yourself, find your own voice. Stuart influenced generations of broadcasters. But anyway, I thought it was great to see Rich Eisen. Take a listen.
This show is all about strolling down memory lane. No, not about having hair. It's about throwing a whole bunch at you while having an old school good time. So stay tuned and don't flip out. SportsCenter is next.
Playing all the old music, play the old NFL music for the Bengals Commanders highlights. I'm literally like, yes, 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 yes.
So good.
I would love to see. Now, this is the good news of the merger with NFL. Now, the guys from all the NFL properties, Rich Eisen on NFL Network, part of ESPN.
Yeah, he's his radio show's moving after Labor Day over to ESPN Radio. There was a lot of nostalgia there. And look, the cool thing is, this is what I loved about it. As much as it was about Rich, he made it about Stu.
Right.
And for those who never saw them together, it was magic. It just was. And to have the steel shots of Stu and to reminisce about that and how they vibed, because it was literally like, I'm here, I'm literally back home, but it's not the same. And I thought, Mike, it was tremendous. I'm with you on this. That those horns, by the way, that SportsCenter horn,
right.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, look, I'm not getting – it's not a political statement. I just felt sometimes agendas creep into the broadcast, and I just don't like the talent as much as I used to because I'm with you. Look, Oberman's become a political animal, but Oberman and Patrick, I'd probably be 1A, 1B with Stu and Rich Eisen.
I would agree.
As far as that, the old school one. And I like Kenny Mayne. I know Kenny Mayne is like Scotch.
I love Kenny, too.
He's kind of an acquired taste.
He's so creative.
Right?
He's creative, man.
Yeah. You know, it's not all in one inning or a game. That'd be a record or something. Anyway, I thought that was great. Hey, real quick, one last TV note while we're talking television. Golf viewership. Scottie Scheffler, is he Tiger Woods?
What's going on with Scottie Scheffler?
Well, he's not Tiger Woods, but he's definitely drawing eyeballs. Sunday's NBC viewership for the BMW Championship, where Scottie made that dramatic comeback, sinks that 82-foot pitch. 3.5 million, million viewers, I should say, for the final round. That's up 43%.
That's good.
From 2.5 million last year with Keegan Bradley winning. Prior 2 years were 3 million for Hovland, 2.8 with Cantley. So basically, kicking butt, getting views. That means I think a lot of folks interested in being at Eastlake will be there, guys, Thursday, Friday, along with Andy Randy. Live Golf, comparatively, 426,000 viewers on Fox versus 3.5 million for the PGA.
I don't like the Live product, but Mike, you know what this tells us? Seriously. We need a dominant guy. And when we have one, we watch to see if he's going to dominate or we watch to see if he's going to – just like with Tiger, just like with Jack, and he's the dominant guy. And that's what it tells us because that comeback was great, but, like, he's been so dominant. You just want to see how this is going to play out. That's very cool. I love this.
And, again, I felt so nostalgic. Watched some of it again this morning on YouTube. Great stuff.
All right, man. Coming up. He says the race is very close. He's close on a decision. We'll tell you about that. Also, the latest with our Falcons as we prepare for the final preseason game. Falcon Report's on the way. No, it was calling my name, and I said, no!
I don't got no control over it, man. I try to kick, man. Just be calling me, man. Be calling me, man. I just got to go to him. Need help, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.